church council meeting go tonight?
Ugh, don't even ask. I just dread going to those meetings.
Really? I thought that you were pretty excited about the new outreach program the church had going.
Yeah, but it's that Howard Newstrom. He's so down on every new idea. He would never admit it. But if he doesn't come up with the idea himself, he just tries to shoot it down. He's so negative.
Well, did the council go ahead and vote for the project?
No. They want to wait a whole other month to study the issue. I mean, it's so frustrating how long we really need to study the idea that people are going to hell if we don't reach them with the gospel.
Well, that is frustrating. But remember, this project is going to require a lot of money from the congregation and a lot of volunteers in the next 3 years. And that kind of commitment is going to take some time to think over.
I know, but it seems like we've been talking about it for years already. And Howard, well, don't even get me started. I don't have anything to do with him anymore. I am personally going to see to it that he never gets reelected to any church position.
Now, hold on a minute. Don't let Howard's attitude lead you into sin. Remember how the pastor was teaching us that every conflict provides an opportunity to grow? He said we could grow to trust God, we can grow to serve other people first, and we can grow to imitate Christ. You think maybe God actually put Howard on the church council to help the church and you and everybody learn to grow to be more like Christ in these ways? We are supposed to put our faith into practice, you know, beginning at the church and then extending out into our lives wherever we go.
Yeah, I suppose that could be true. I do want to be a peacemaker, not a peace breaker. Why don't we talk about this a little bit more after I get the kids put to bed?
Sounds like a good idea.
All right, I'll be right there.
These past 5 weeks, I've been talking with you about peacemaking, and along the way we've talked about seeking to glorify God in our conflicts and react in a way that God would have us in those times. We talked about getting the log out of our own eye, that is being able to confess our own sins and how they contribute to the conflict or how we react to it, and then be ready to forgive others if they confess their sins. We talked about gently restoring by overlooking minor offenses and speaking face to face and graciously with offenses that should be overlooked. And last week we talked about go and be reconciled. That is, instead of accepting premature compromise or allowing relationships to wither, that we will go the extra mile to do what we can to be at peace with one another through conversation and forgiveness. But tonight I want to encourage you to put these principles into practice in your lives as a matter of good stewardship. Stewardship. What do you think of when I say that word? The offering plate, giving money, or maybe volunteering at the church? Well, that's true. But stewardship really is just how we use our gifts and abilities that God gives us to bless God and to serve other people. And so our peacemaking skills are naturally putting those to use are a part of our stewardship. But one thing I want to reemphasize for you is that peacemaking doesn't happen by accident. What happens by accident usually is broken relationships and just forgetting about people and leaving them behind, or getting angry with people and saying words and doing things that we regret later. But every conflict we face is, whether it's big or small, is really an opportunity for personal peacemaking. First of all, there's that opportunity to bring glory to God. That's where you ask yourself, I'm in this conflict, but how can I speak and act in a way that glorifies God's name? How can I live in a way that honors God and shows that I trust Him and gives a positive witness to other people around me? We honor God when we trust in Him rather than trusting in our old sinful ways of dealing with conflict that come all too easy to us. Remember our reading for today that Pastor just read? Romans 12:17. It said, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." And then there's that passage that gets quoted so often. "Vengeance is mine, says the Lord." Now, here we're seeing that as followers of Jesus, we shouldn't be so concerned with getting even. In fact, we leave that up to God. And we shouldn't be so concerned with demonstrating that we are right and the other person is wrong. That's not the most important thing. And our greatest opportunity is to keep God's commands in our life and to imitate Christ. Another opportunity that presents itself in conflict is to be able to serve other people. Now, we don't often think of that when we're in conflict with somebody. How do I serve them? Usually we want to figure out how we can win or get away from them. But we can help them carry their burdens. We can help them to change through constructive confrontation. And we can teach and encourage others simply by being a good example in how we go through our personal conflicts with others. I'm reminded of an older pastor I used to know. His name is George. And I used to see him in conflicts here and there. And I know that he didn't like conflict any better than you or I do. But still, he didn't avoid conflicts. He also didn't let his temper get the best of him, even though I know when the situation was getting under his skin, still he remained calm, or at least on the outside seemed to be. And no matter what the problem was, and there were plenty of problems as I recall, he always appeared to trust in God, to want to be a good example to his people who were watching him all the time. And he really had that attitude of a servant. And he's been an inspiration to me. I always think of him as somebody that I want to model after in how I am as a pastor and as a husband and as a father. Sometimes, in my own life, I look back at situations that I could and should have handled better. You know, I get that twinge of guilt once in a while when I think about a situation that's, you know, gone by and I think, boy, sometimes I've hid from conflicts when I shouldn't have. And other times, I allowed myself to get angry, and I've shown that to other people. I fought back with words and actions that I've grown to regret. But I've asked God to forgive me for those times. And what a blessing it is to come here to church and hear again and again those words of forgiveness that we all need to hear so often. It's my hope that in the future, I'll remember the words of St. Paul when he said, "Don't repay anyone evil for evil." To me, that means no matter how bad somebody treats you, don't do the same thing to them that they did to you. And definitely don't do it worse. Rather, try to imitate Christ and trust in God in whatever way you can. Now, it's important to recognize in doing this, you will fail. You will fall down again and again. But be open about your own sin and confess it to God. Confess it to other people when you've sinned against them or when they've seen you sin. And be ready to forgive those who confess their sin to you. One question I've heard a few times from people is they ask, when should I forgive someone? Right away? As soon as they do it? Or later? Or after they confess their sin? When do I do it, Pastor? And I say, well, perhaps if the offense is minor, doesn't affect anybody else, and you're not going to harbor bitter feelings in your heart against that person, then just forgive them immediately in your own heart. We say that's just overlooking a sin. And you know, we've got to do that. Otherwise, all we'd be doing is managing conflicts all the time, right? But if it involves someone else or the offense is too serious to overlook and the offender has not repented, well, then you can approach the situation in two stages. And I'd say the first stage, well, the first stage is to have an attitude of forgiveness. And this is just between you and God. But it means that you forgive the person in your heart. And if you're not quite there yet, you ask God to open your heart to forgive that person. This is your commitment to God that you will forgive others as He has forgiven you all your sins. You commit yourself not to dwell on the incident or to seek revenge, but instead, you pray for the other person. That's the first stage. The second would be granting forgiveness. Now, this depends on the repentance of the other person, and it takes place between you and that other person. You may need to talk to that person about their sin. You may need to involve someone else to help you talk with them about that and resolve the matter. But when that reconciliation is reached, you make a promise. Really, three promises. One, you promise not to bring the incident up again and use it against them. Second, you promise not to talk to other people about the incident. And thirdly, you promise not to allow it to stand between you or hinder your personal relationship with that other person. Now, after reconciliation has been reached, there may still be decisions that have to be made about physical property, money that needs to be repaid, about different values and beliefs, and how you're going to work that out, especially if it's in your family, or maybe doctrinal issues. And these things need to be addressed. We shouldn't just say, oh, I forgive you, and sweep all this under the rug. Forgiveness is the most important thing. But then getting down to, you know, once we're at peace with each other, really settling the problem and the issue. We shouldn't just hand this off to a higher authority either without first delving into it ourselves with that other person. Christians should always try to negotiate in good faith with each other, always looking to the needs of others and not just to what we want, but considering what's beneficial for everyone involved and look for a set solution that helps everybody. You remember the story of Daniel? Right in the beginning of the book, chapter 1, where Daniel's taken off to Babylon, he's made a servant of the king in the king's court, and they want only the best-looking young men, so they put him on this super diet, the king's food, the best food. Well, Daniel hears about that, and he says, no, I'm Jewish, and I can't eat all this food. What am I going to do? He's got a conflict, right? But a good example of what he does. He speaks to the king's servant. He says, could we try this, sir? Could me and my friends here just eat vegetables and water for 10 days? And then come back and look at us and see if we don't measure up to the other guys who are eating all the king's food. And if we look okay, let's continue that way. But if not, well, then we'll have to do something else. I think that's a really good example of negotiation in a God-pleasing way there. And it's a good example for all of us to follow in resolving our own conflicts. Well, folks, it's been a pleasure to talk to you these last 5 weeks about peacemaking in Lent here. And I'm by no means no expert. I'm just beginning to learn about this and apply it in my own life. But I say it has been life-changing to me. And I hope it is to you as you continue to learn. But I'd like to end in this way. Throughout the rest of this Lent, we've got just a week to go here. I'd like you right now to think of a person that you had a recent conflict with. In your family, in your work, in your neighborhood, even here at church. Think of that person in your mind, who they are. Ask God to help you to forgive that person in your heart. That kind of attitude of forgiveness, to give you that attitude. And then, before Easter, I'm asking you, as your pastor and one of your spiritual guides, to seek out that person and seek to be reconciled with them. Go to them personally. Admit any sin that you have committed against them as you examine your relationship to them. And ask their forgiveness. And then be ready to forgive any sins that that other person has committed against you that might be voiced there. And once you've been reconciled, try to find a solution to the conflict that will benefit everyone, you and that other person. And if you need help to figure out what that is, well, get that help. But it's worth it. It's worth it because forgiveness is what we're talking about here. Forgiveness is what Jesus went to the cross to bring to us. And it's right that we share that forgiveness with those that we work with, live with, worship with, and serve in this world. Amen. Yeah.